This is Matt Connickson. I'm a sales agronomist with CHX Ag Services in Oakley, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHX Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, farm news on the Red River Farm Network on this Tuesday, August the 6th. I'm Randy Conan. We'll also hear reports from Don Wick, Tyler Donaldson, and Melissa Hammer. Corn condition dropped 1% in yesterday's USDA crop progress report. Still historically high, though. 67% of the crop is rated good to excellent, which is 5% higher than the five-year average, 10% better than last year. Soybean conditions improved by 1% to 68% good to excellent. That's 8% higher than the five-year average, 14% better than last year. North Dakota's soybean condition rating improved by 10 percentage points. Winter wheat harvest nationwide, 88% complete, slightly ahead of the five-year average of 86%. Spring wheat conditions held steady at 74%, good to excellent. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says this year's corn crop is in very good shape nationwide.
Almost all the corn is silking 88% nationally. That is equal to the five-year average, slightly behind last year's 90%. Meanwhile, 46% of this corn crop has reached the dough stage by August 4th. Well ahead of the five-year average of 38%, ahead of last year's 42%. As we look for the first time this year at corn reaching the dented stage, nationally 7%, five-year average is 5%. Last year we were also at 7%.
And the U.S. soybean crop also ahead of average, with the exception of the Northern Plains.
86% of the U.S. soybeans blooming, five-year average 84%. Last year, a little quicker at 88%. As you move to the setting pod stage, 59% nationally, five-year average 56%. Last year at this time, 61%. We have two states appreciably behind, Minnesota and North Dakota, both 17 points behind their respective five-year averages. Minnesota, 48% setting pods. North Dakota, just 39%. But on the flip side, we've got progress into double digits ahead of the five-year average for setting pods in Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, Nebraska, and Ohio.
The gates open at 8 for the first day of Farm Fest. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Don Wick has this update from Minnesota's Redwood County.
Our coverage brought to you by the Minnesota Corn Growers Association, Minnesota Farm Bureau Federation, and Minnesota Soybean Growers Association. Farm Fest features 500 ag companies on more than 50 acres. Farm Fest spokesperson Nikki Jones says those exhibitors are truly the star of the show.
When I walk around, I see that some of these guys have brought their just newest equipment, right? It changes every year, the technology gets better, and they're out here showing that stuff off. So I think that people are going to want to see that.
The forums are a Farm Fest staple. Congressional candidate forums are planned this morning and afternoon, and there's a Senate forum tomorrow.
If you're going out to the polls and you want to hear from your representatives in your area, this is the place to do it. They're all going to be here, most of the candidates, and they're going to be talking about stuff specific to rural Minnesota and those agriculture policies and things that really matter. So you want to hear from each of them, their stance on those things, and this is where you do it.
There's also special livestock forums and demos each day, including a session today on H5N1, the avian influenza outbreak. Speakers will include Minnesota Ag Commissioner Tom Peterson and representatives from the Minnesota Board of Animal Health and ag groups. Our Farm Fest coverage made possible by the Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and the Minnesota Farmers Union. I'm Don Wick from Farm Fest on the Red River Farm Network.
Well, yesterday's short covering in the grain trade sparked by economic concerns. Ag Resource Company President Dan Boss, he said last week's U.S. jobs report was just one of the factors.
It really was in the what we call the Japanese carry trade, which is borrowing money in Japan at 0% interest and then repatriating it into other investments around the world. Since the end of July, the Japanese yen is now up around 13%. And so that trade's gone terribly bad. And and the billions of dollars in it is trying to get out. And so that along with the report from last Friday is really the keynote in terms of what's going on in financials.
And Bossy says fund managers are looking to take risk off the table anywhere they can.
As we've got all this volatility in the financial markets, portfolio managers are trying to get smaller, and they're trying to get smaller in a lot of areas. And so volatility breeds a need to reduce positions, and we did see to some degree taking place in corn, wheat, and soybeans. We'll see if there's more. I suspect there is heading to the end of the week in the USDA report on Monday.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. With the late start to the planting season, most of North Dakota's crop progress is behind last year and the five-year average. 73% of the soybeans were blooming, behind last year's 91%. 39% were setting pods, well behind last year's 62%. Corn silking reached 76%, behind last year's 86%. 69% of North Dakota's spring wheat is coloring. That's 22% of the wheat crop is mature. Winter wheat, 23% harvested. 47% of the canola is coloring. In South Dakota, 68% of the topsoil rated adequate to surplus, 81% of the corn is silking, behind last year's 90% and the 83% average. Soybeans blooming reached 80%, behind last year's 87%, and 43% of the soybeans are setting pods, which is behind last year's 54%. South Dakota's winter wheat is 86% harvested, ahead of last year and the average. Spring wheat, 39% harvested, also ahead of last year and the average. Pasture conditions rated 51% good to excellent. In Minnesota, 93% of the topsoil was rated adequate to surplus. 81% of the corn is silking, up 20% from last week. Soybeans blooming is at 83% with 48% setting pods. 86% of Minnesota spring wheat is coloring with 3% harvested. Second cutting of alfalfa is 79% complete. And with all the rains this spring and scattered moisture and weather, many farmers are seeing a range of variability in their crops. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more.
With rain delaying planting for some crops and stressed fields leading to more variability, crop plan corn and soybean product manager Jamie Kloster suggests working with local agronomists and performing a push test of corn crop standability to determine the impact on the crop.
One thing a grower can do is, you know, probably work with a local agronomist on kind of seeing which fields are more likely to stand good and which ones maybe have a little lower standability. And one way you can do that is grab the plant at ear height and then push it over about a foot. The stalk bounces right back and flings back like a spring. That stalk is in pretty good shape. And if the stalk kinks, and you'll be able to tell if it kinks, you know, that stalk isn't in as good a shape. And so as you do that throughout your field, say you go out to a few different spots and you do that in 10 or 15 plants out there, if 90% of them are flinging back, that field is probably in pretty good condition for late season standability. But if the majority of them start kinking over, that's a field that is maybe a windstorm away from a lodging issue and a not so fun harvest for that farmer.
In addition to soybean aphids in some fields, Kloster warns about Phytophthora and white mold as potential threats.
I have seen a little bit of Phytophthora out there, so if you see random dead plants out in your soybean field, you can bring them in or take an agronomist out there to confirm it, but there is a little bit of Phytophthora I've seen showing up out there, and you can't do anything about it this year, but what you can do is kind of just make a mental note that next time you have beans there, you know, you might want to consider a seed treatment and planting a soybean variety that's going to be pretty tolerant to Phytophthora root rot. And then the last thing is, you know, soybean white mold is always an issue in August, especially when we've had some rains throughout the year. With regard to soybean white mold, I haven't seen any myself yet, but I would suggest if you have a history of white mold and you've had a crop canopy that's closed near an area that's got some of these later rains, that could be something to discuss with a local agronomist if you should take action. Because the thing to keep in mind is you have to control white mold if you control white mold after you see it, you're too late. You can't cure it. You can only prevent the infection.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Another disease that pathologists throughout the Midwest are keeping an eye out on is red crown rot in soybeans. University of Illinois Extension plant pathologist Boris Camaletti says crown rot spreads quickly and can cut yields by as much as 50%.
It's something that we need to pay attention, and it's very important to have a very good diagnosis. So the plant clinic at the university, they can give you the correct diagnosis in just a couple of days. It's just $20. But if you have the disease, there is not too much that you can do on that season, but there is some measures that you can consider for the next season.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The Northern Potato Growers Association recently naming its new executive director. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Melissa Hammer has more.
The Northern Potato Growers Association's new executive director, Gary Shields, has been involved in the potato industry for quite some time. He brings a wealth of knowledge to the association.
You know, I've been blessed to be part of the potato business for over 30 years. I was a one-time employee of the Red River Valley Potato Growers Association, doing some work with their publication and was promoted into public relations. Then I took a hiatus, and for the last 6 years, I've served on the board of the Northland Potato Growers Association, serving as president of the Potato Associate, and have been blessed to be selected to be the new executive director. This is a wonderful group of producers that are very dedicated to the stewardship of the land. It's a family business, and I couldn't be more honored to represent them.
Shields assumed his new role on July 29th and is excited for what the new role will bring.
We've got a processing plant looking at our area. That's been something that they've been working on for some time. You always welcome those opportunities. The industry in general is very strong. I know, coming from the packaging business side and working with all of the potato wash plants in the valley, we've seen tremendous upgrade. We've seen tremendous technology. You know, you see it in the fields, but it's also in our facilities, and it brings quality. It brings just better yields. And so there's just a lot of exciting things going on, and there's no shortage of continued growth in this industry. It's very exciting.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Melissa Hammer for the Red River Farm Network.
Let's check markets before we leave you this morning. Wheat in Minneapolis, we are 5 cents higher. September's up 5 1/4. Chicago September wheat's up 4. Kansas City September wheat 5 higher. September corn trading 4 higher at 386 3/4. December's up down 4 cents at 386 3/4. December down 4 1/4 at 402 3/4. And September soybeans trading down 19 cents, 10.12 1/2. November soybeans down 19 at 10.21. And November canola playing catch up. We're down $17.10 a metric ton. Again, the wheat complex all lower here this morning as well, 4 to 5 cents across that complex. On the farm calendar, Peterson Farm Seed Field Days in Aberdeen today. We'll go to Belgrade, Minnesota on the 14th and Chicago, Minnesota on the 15th. Also, today is day one of Farm Fest at Redwood County, Minnesota. Gates open at 8 o'clock this morning, and be listening for live reports from both of those two events going on. Don's at Farm Fest, Tyler at in Aberdeen for the Peterson Farm Seed Field Day. Also wrapping up today, the final day of the North Dakota Veterinary Medicine Association. That concludes today. And also the North Dakota Pork Council and the National Pork Board holding the election of their producer delegate. Again, that is today as well. Well, thanks for joining us this morning. Have a great Tuesday. This is the Red River Farm Network.